वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतां परकमलां श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपां साग्रजातां सहगनारघुनाथां वितांतां सुजीवां साद्वैतां सावधूतं परिजनासहितं श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदा सहगना ललिता विशाखान्वितंस्य.
Where is it reading from?
Yes, it's Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 6.
So is Mahaprabhu speaking to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya?
Yes.
So we're told that after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, that he went to Jagannath Puri, and there he met Vasudev Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Actually, as Srila Gurudev was saying this morning, Saraswati Thakur in the Guru Parampara song, when he identifies the position of Mahaprabhu, he's introduced as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahe Anya. So there's some very specific emphasis upon Mahaprabhu and his relation, Krishna's conception and relationship to Srimati Radharani. Because before the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there existed the Chaitanya Mangal or the Chaitanya Bhagwat of Vrindavan Das Thakur, and that was considered and is considered the authorized biography of who is Mahaprabhu. So when everyone wanted to understand who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, naturally they'd read Chaitanya Bhagwat, and there a particular conception is given. One thing we have to understand, this allows for the dynamics of fresh, original, new revelation. One thing I appreciated about Krishna consciousness from the very beginning was in the Bhagavad Gita where it says, evam parampara praptam imam rajasyo vidu sakale neha yogashta parantapa. It says that this can be lost in time. Whatever the conception of truth is, and we look at Bhaktivinoda Thakur's method of presenting the Srimad Bhagavatam, he begins with the 11th canto of Krishna's instructions to Uddhava on this very point, that according to individual modification, what is called prakriti vaichitra, people receive the truth differently. He's saying the truth is originally one, and then it's heard. But people hear, by their hearing, there undergoes some individual modification. Sometimes we're celebrating that, as in the case of Rupa and Sanatan, when Srila Guru Maharaj asked Saraswati Thakur, said, Rupa Goswami concludes Krishna Lila in a particular way, Sanatan Goswami in another way. Why have they done it differently? And Saraswati Thakur's answer was adhoksaja, saying this is one of the favorite words in the Bhagavatam used from the very beginning, adhoksaja. adhoksajay, sabhaipum sampro dharmo yato bhaktir adhoksajay. That what we're dealing with from the very beginning is adha aksaja. It's beyond what can be verified by the senses, which include the mind, intelligence, etc., of any individual or collectively. That's not how you will ascertain truth. Of course, that is anathema in the modern world of democracy, where people think that by the combined, why not combine everybody's brains together? We'll make one big brain or some supercomputer brain, and that's how we'll figure everything out. And that's how we'll decide what the next step is. And that's how we will verify what is true, what is untrue, what is valuable, what's not valuable, what's worth embracing, and what is worth rejecting. We're told from the very beginning, this subject matter is unapproachable in that way. We'll baffle you. So whenever an atheist, and here I like to use atheist to mean someone who's not engaged in the culture of faith, when you try to ascertain the truth about divinity or Krishna consciousness or guru or the deity or the Dham or your very self, your soul, you'll come up empty-handed, bewildered, confused, and misled if the approach is wrong. Adha aksaja, adhoksaja, that Saraswati gave this word. He's saying, if everything can be known about Krishna, then why should he be called adhoksaja? Why do we use words like achintya, inconceivable? If every last thing can be known, every last detail, down to his flute size, can be, which the experts, they give some indications about these things. But if we're always trying to measure the immeasurable, then we'll come up either empty-handed or with a false conclusion. So Saraswati Thakur gave that answer at Hoksaja, and the Bhagavatam from the very beginning said at Hoksaja. Sometimes Srila Guru Maharaj, he said, and we can take it in this, like, there were great sailors previously, and they would brave the oceans, right? They'd be on some mission to discover new worlds, and empowered by the king or the queen or the royalty, and they'd be sent off to travel, chart, what do they say, unknown waters and discover new lands and the wealth that was to be gathered there. So we think of someone like Columbus discovered America or someone else discovered something else. But there's also, what we're dealing with is the plane of consciousness. And that plane has also been compared to an ocean. And there are great sailors journeying the ocean of consciousness. They're braving that plane. And there are many jewels of consciousness to be mined from there. Just like the ocean appears to be homogeneous from an external glance, but if we can go into it deeply, we can discover unknown worlds that are not apparent from the surface. That so Ramanuja, he discovered Vaikuntha. Just the way someone discovers a continent, he discovered the lower hemisphere of the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, the Vaikuntha Narayan. That this Brahma, we're told in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, this Advaya Gyan, this one truth, is perceived as Brahma, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So he saw deep in the ocean of Brahma, there is Vaikuntha. And what is that? It is an immeasurable, infinite world. How immeasurable? There are different approaches to this. There are deep philosophical explanations and very simple explanations and everything in between. So here, because Mahaprabhu and Sarvabhauma are discussing Vedanta, it appears to be very technical and very philosophical. Because who is Sarvabhauma? He's a big scholar. So Mahaprabhu is showing at the basis of all this Krishna conception, there's this deep philosophy. But in some cases, he chooses very simple examples to demonstrate very deep or profound truths. as in the Srimad Bhagavatam itself, when on this point of Krishna being immeasurable. So we're told that Mother Yashoda, on account of her intense motherly affection and seeing many inauspicious things apparently are happening in the land of total auspiciousness, Vrindavan. Why? Just for Leela, to swell the progress of Leela, for play. In some places the acharyas have pointed out there is so much ecstasy there, and it starts moving in an infinite current in an ever expanding way, that they need a lunch break, so to speak, or a demon to enter and interrupt the play temporarily to spin it off into another direction. So Mother Yashoda, we're told that once, and these pastimes, they're what we may record in hundreds of volumes, could be just a typical morning in Vrindavan for Krishna. This is the contraction and expansion of time in the infinite world. The whole Bhagavad, that could have been one morning, every pastime that we know. They could have all happened in one morning practically, on a typical day in Vrindavan. But all these events, within them, the infinite is to be perceived, can be discovered and come out. The infinite and the finite. This is the apparently bewildering nature of Vaikuntha world. But anyway, we're told Mother Yashoda, sometimes she is worried that Krishna might get into some mischief if he leaves the range of her attention. So she wanted to tie and bind him up. And we just celebrated the month of Damodar. She wants to bind Krishna, so then she knows, then she can, her heart can be free from anxiety that Krishna's bound here and he's playing and I can do other things which are service to him without worrying that he's getting into some trouble. Because if you say Ramanuja discovered Vaikuntha, that's the lower hemisphere of the spiritual world. Another meaning of that word being Vaikuntha, without anxiety. But the upper hemisphere, the domain of Goloka, Vrindavan, Braj, is filled with anxiety. It's only the lower part of the spiritual world that is anxiety-free. So when people are, they think, and they're searched for spirituality, that it means a group of people who sit around who are anxiety-free, and they always have smiles on their faces, and they never have to deal with anything unpleasant. Yes. That's not the Krishna conception. And the Krishna conception of divinity, there's one mishap after another. There's one cliffhanger, one lilic cliffhanger after another, where either the cowherd boys all die and they're brought back from death by Krishna, or Krishna himself appears to be in the throes and the clutches of death, as in the Kaliya Lila. So Yashoda, the intensity of her heart's affection is being churned by the apparent threatening opposition, the antithesis to Krishna Lila that appears in the form of demons or sometimes an unfavorable environment. So she's thinking, I'll bind him and secure him, and then my heart will be relieved from this constant anxiety that's known as Krishna consciousness. So we're told as she tries to bind Krishna that her estimation of the infinite is two fingers too short. That's pretty close if you think about it. But two fingers too short, right? That distance. So again, she ties some more rope. She's trying to bind Krishna and comes up two fingers too short. But then what happens in this process is that, because actually there's not a touch of the mundane in Yashoda, and Krishna, he wants to demonstrate something about her position to the people of the world. But he sees that in her intense eagerness and intensity to bind him for his own sake, What is in the heart of the devotee is the welfare of Krishna. We like to think the other way around, and that's we should think that way. But in the higher realm of Krishna consciousness, the devotee, what is within their hearts, they're concerned about Krishna's welfare. That's where we detect devotion. And to those who have been given such exalted status, Krishna is wholly given over to. So once when some devotees were discussing with Srila Sridhar Maharaj the use of the honorifics as in Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paribrajakacharya, etc., and honoring Guru and like that, he joked and said, when Yashoda is coming after Krishna to whip him, no Om Vishnupad at that time. That's not what's in her mind. She's, and Krishna, he's seeing her, and he's genuinely afraid and crying. And that's also been given in that song of the Damodarasa song. How, and Kunti Devi, Gopyadade, Koyukitasam, Damatava, Jate, Dushafu, Kalilanjana, Sambramaksham. Krishna, the kajal on Krishna's eyes is running down his face. The tears and the fear of seeing Yasoda coming after him with a whip. And Kunti Devi says, I'm thinking, Yadbhayam Swayam Vibheti, that fear itself is afraid of Krishna, but he's running from her. This bewilders me. But it's bewildering, this type of bewilderment is producing some sort of joy in my heart. I don't mind being bewildered like this, seeing him run from her whom fear personified is afraid of the very name, Krishna. Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshamam. But Krishna is seeing that some sweat has come on the brow of Yashoda in her attempts to bind him. Then, by her heart, he agrees to become bound. So we're told that Atakshi Krishna Namadi Nabhavye Grayam Indriye. He's Adhokshaja, beyond the range of the senses. He can't be bound, they're captured, grasped, understood, conceived. But Sevan Mukhe Hijivaro Shayam Eva Sporasida. But Sevan Mukhata, those whose intentions are to serve Krishna, to them he is bound, to them he is revealed. So the whole emphasis of this book, of this mot, this mission, our Guru Varga, their stress has been given to seva, to service. That is the method to capture who is adhoksaja. So when Brahma, who is also bewildered by Krishna Leela, anyone who comes to examine Krishna Leela, you may be four-headed Brahma, your foreheads will spin. Jnane prayasa mudapasana manteva divanti sanmukharitam babadiya bartam stane stita srutigatam tanuban manovir ye prayasa jita jita upiyasi taistrelokyam. Krishna is also known as Ajita, which means he's unconquerable. It says, but ye prayasa jita jito upiyasi taistrelokyam, but he's easily conquered by those who give up the process of trying to capture him with the intellect, mind, or senses, and who, regardless of what your position is, regardless of when you realize the truth of what is being said, that stane stita shruti gatam tanuvan manovya, you begin hearing about Krishna from realized souls. As I said in the beginning, some individual modification, and we're also appreciating. Sometimes that, on a lower level, is responsible for the truth turning into falsity and gradually turning into something else in time. But sometimes it comes to just present a different facet of the beauty of the infinite. As in the case Baladev Vidyabhushan, Srila Gurudev was quoting him this morning, he has another sloka in which he says that Govinda Vidamandirasitavadam Hastasta Ratnari Vatsat. Rupan Goswami, as if Govinda were a jewel. Like if this was a jewel, he'd think, there, Chakratu, the way you turn a jewel, when you turn a jewel like that, according to where the light hits the facets of the jewels, and you're all individually perceiving that, some flashes of brilliance and beauty are being shown to the individuals as it rotates. So Rupa Goswami is rotating the jewel Govinda in one way, and Sanatan Goswami in another way, and this way infinite variations of beauty are being revealed according to the heart's perception of those devotees.